St. Peter reminds us, be prudent and watch in prayers. And our Lord, at the communion verse, I pray that thou shouldst keep them from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When I was in Mexico last month, there were big billboards everywhere advertising a bullfight. Probably that's not politically correct anymore. And they say that even in Mexico, bullfights are slowly dying out. And of course, in our country, you're not even allowed to have elephants at the circus anymore. Well, these billboards advertised a certain Pablo Hermosa de Mendoza. He is known as a rejoneador, which means he's a bullfighter on horseback, which I suppose demands a whole fresh set of skills. Now, at this point, you may be wondering where I'm going with this. A matador on Mother's Day? But there's a story I like to tell the children from time to time. It's about a tourist who went to Mexico, and he was most set on catching a bullfight as part of his experience. And he saw all the posters around town advertising that a certain matador named Gallino would be entering the arena against the mightiest and most vicious bull in all of the Republic of Mexico. Big, fierce beast who was nicknamed Señor Toro, Mr. Bull. And he did look vicious. He was big and heavy and black as ink. He had small, fiery eyes, long horns. Beside that, he had as well a wicked temper. He was a born killer, and he had already gored 7 matadors, bullfighters. On the morning of the fight, the tourist did a little investigation. He stopped by to see the matador Gallino, and he thought that a man who was going into the arena against Señor Toro, that fierce bull, would be worried, would be maybe pacing back and forth, or he would see him with his sword practicing those particular ritual stabs they employ. But no, he found him relaxed, seated on the back step of his house in the sunshine, strumming his guitar. You can't be Gallino, asked the tourist. Si, senor, he responded, and he went on strumming away. But you can't be the man who's going to fight Señor Toro. Si, senor, was all that he said. But the most vicious bull in all the land? Aren't you afraid? And why should I be afraid? Gallino pointed to an old lady who was sitting on the porch behind him. Her hands clasped together, holding a rosary. The bull has no mother to pray for him. St. Peter tells us today that we should be praying, and our Lord, that we should all of us do as good mothers do, pray for their children to be kept from evil. Every day of our lives, we enter into this arena against a vicious foe. But our mother's prayers are always with us. But a mother's prayers, well, that's something we tend to forget, usually, or at least take for granted. We know our mothers would be praying for us if we thought of it, but except for today, we probably give them very little thanks for those prayers. But we can make things easier on our mothers' children by being just the kind of children our mothers would want us to be. If we misbehave and are bad, why, we add to their suffering. But if we're good and well-behaved, we add to their happiness. A good rule to follow for all of us is, would I do this? Would I say this if my mother were watching? Most parents give every possible chance for good to their own children. A good home, I mean, and good schooling, and mass every Sunday, and prayers in the home, and good example. And yet, sometimes, children don't turn out right, do they? And then parents ask themselves, why, when all that we've done has been the best that we could, why haven't they turned out better than this? It's not the parents' fault. They've done all that they could. The fault is with the children. They have resisted every good and have decided to grow up bad. It is the children's own fault and not the parents. But many and many a mother is sad today because the children she tried to bring up to be good men and women are not. She was proud of them once, but now when she thinks of them, she is ashamed. Children, you make up your minds today, once and for all, that you will never behave in any manner that your mother would have to be ashamed of you. But you, mothers, who pray so much, and you, children, regardless of age, who play too much, you should know and rejoice, all of you, in the virtue of hope. That's the virtue we pray for in this season of the year of the Ascension. And when we tell the second glorious mystery on our rosary beads, all year long, we ask for hope. Hope is God's gift. Why must we exercise it? And why must we hope in God? Our excellent servers told me that just a few minutes ago as we ended the 42nd Psalm together. Choir was singing the introit, you were praying quietly, and we were making our preparation. And their last words to me were, spera in Deo quoniam ad hoc, hope in God, because still will I praise him. Why must we hope in God? We must hope in God because he is infinitely good and infinitely powerful and faithful to his promises. The motives of hope and of confidence in God abound. Count them out. First, the goodness of God. He wants to help us. He desires to help us. Why would he have created us if not to make us to be happy with him forever in heaven? When we went astray, he sent a Redeemer. And in the meantime, he showers down upon us temporal as well as spiritual blessings. And second, he can do it. His power is infinite. With God, all things are possible. Our Lord tells us simply. And sacred scripture is full of those wonderful Bible stories. We read to our children, David against Goliath and the three young men in the fiery furnace, and Daniel facing down the lions in the den. And the life of the church, the victories of Mary, the miracles of the rosary, which we celebrate throughout the year. Thirdly, God is faithful. St. Paul tells us that very simply. He is the God who will help us because he's made the promise and he'll keep it. Remind him of that when you pray. Tick off all of these motives for hope when you place your petition before our Lord. And then our Lord is merciful. His tender mercies are above all his works, wrote King David in the Psalms. And he should know. He was a terrible sinner. The very first step would bring our Lord coming, running to receive us. The merits of Christ are infinite and therefore they are sufficient to obtain for us all things. If any man sin, we have an advocate with God, who is Christ Jesus the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. You're not left on your own in your sins. And then he makes all of these merits over to us so that we can use them with confidence. And finally, and I think this is the greatest motive for hope, we have Mary, our Blessed Mother. God chose a mother for himself in time, Mary Immaculate. And she prays for us still. She prays for us all the time. You didn't get a chance to choose your own mother. God chose a mother for you. But you do get a chance to choose the Mother of God to be your own. That's the meaning of the prayer we call the act of consecration to the Virgin Mary. We choose her to be our mother. She's the mother of the King, and thus, in very biblical truth, she is the Queen Mother, and she stands next to the throne of her Son, constantly interceding for us. But there is more. Our Lord has made over to her, in a particular way, all of his merits, and thus she distributes all graces to us. St. Pius X explains, remember, Mary is the neck of the mystical body. She connects the head, Christ, with us, the members. And she gives those graces won by her Son, she gives them to her children. She who was so closely connected at Calvary with her Son and Redeemer, as close as a creature could be, so conformed to the will of God, offering up her Son in sacrifice and dying in her own soul as he died in his flesh for our redemption. The fathers of the church say that's the meaning of Simeon's prophecy. In thine own soul, a sword shall pierce. And thus, St. Bernardine of Siena, he says that all grace has a three-stop course. Just as the blood is pumped from the heart and circulates throughout the body and returns to the heart again, so too all grace starts coming from God to Christ Jesus, our Lord, and then from our Lord to Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, and then from the Blessed Mother to us, so that we one day might go back grace-laden to God. Remember the divine plan. Be filled with hope, you children of Mary. God willed to come to us only by her, and God wills us to return to him only through her. Scripture says, I am the mother of holy hope. These are the qualities that our hope should possess, that certainty in mind, because I know God's goodness and his power. And then in our will, a firm confidence. More or less perfect our confidence should be, depending on our own faith and how much we put our faith to practice. By means of a persevering devotion to the Blessed Virgin. St. Alphonsus says, no soul ever devoted to Mary has been lost in hell. And another saint says, I worry about the salvation of those who have no devotion to the Mother of God. She is not only, though, the mother of holy hope, she is the mother of fear. No presumption should have its place in this practice of Mary-filled hope. We should imitate Our Lady in her profound humility and honor her humbly. And there still is room for a salutary fear, as we say in that one beautiful novena prayer to our Mother of Perpetual Help, But one thing I fear, that in the hour of temptation I may neglect to call on thee and thus perish miserably. You have a mother to pray for you. There is no reason why any of us should perish. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.